God, I thank you for being my father. And I thank you for your son. I thank you for your Holy Ghost, who unites us all as one.
Grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am John Harvey with the Community Homeowners Group to present to you thought-provoking messages that will not only engage your heart, but will dispel age-old myths and unveil hidden truths that unfold the Word of God.
God, I thank you for being my father.
Today's message is being brought to you by Dexter Hunt, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet.
The dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. The apostles John and Paul wrote many things concerning the last days of mankind. In the book of Revelation, 11 through 16 chapters, John spoke of the coming of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. In 2 Corinthians 11, 3 through 4, Paul said, quote, "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it," unquote. The focus of both scriptures is the satanic trinity. The enemy has presented God's people with another Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit that many have accepted. This teaching will explore this deceptive ploy of Satan and how it has affected the people of God. The Satanic Trinity. Satan has craftily proposed a doctrine that glorifies Jesus the man as opposed to Christ, the power of God. 1 Timothy 4 and 1 reads, quote, "Now that the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils," unquote. Satan's doctrine of devils is represented by the Satanic Trinity. The dragon, the beast, and the false prophet make up the Satanic Trinity. Satan is the dragon that is spoken of throughout the Bible, and in particular, the book of Revelations. He is like the dinosaur that no man has ever seen, but whose remains are visible throughout the current earth. No man has seen Satan in his essence. If they had, they would know him in all of his evil. Like the dragon, men everywhere know of Satan. Satan is natural and cannot be at more than one place at one time. He needs help to carry out his nefarious deeds. Satan is also a counterfeiter. He attempts to work as God does. God is one, but is represented as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We as humans were created in the image and likeness of God. We are represented as spirit, soul, and body. Yet in both cases, there is only one being. This is to the contrary of the concept of God being three persons in one, as is popularly taught in denominational religion. Satan is the dragon, and he influences the beast and the false prophet, but he is not them. Satan needs bodies to operate in this world because his essence does not allow for entry into the earth. Satan is natural, but not physical. Man is natural, but also physical. Our bodies were constructed to survive in the realm of our universe. Satan's was not. That difference is what physically keeps Satan away from man. Satan can speak to man and does so in hopes of getting many to join him in his unrighteousness. Again, Satan needs willing followers with bodies such as ours to fully operate in our realm. Satan is presented in Scripture as the dragon with the beast and the false prophet as his helpers. The beast gets his power from the dragon. We may say that the beast is the show and tell act of the dragon, where miracles, signs, and wonders are wrought. The beast may also be referred to as the Antichrist, which includes any individual that Satan has elevated to be his leader of his work throughout the existence of mankind, which is to also say there have been many Antichrists. The false prophet is the voice of the dragon. Doctrines of demons flow from this voice in mystifying fashion. A spirit of error works through the false prophet, delivering messages of deception. It is this same spirit of error that has operated through all leaders, past and present, that are not operating in the spirit of truth. The dragon, beast, and false prophet are one in evil. The dragon was the one behind the ploy to overthrow Adam. He sent forth his beast in the guise of a serpent with the power to make the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil look inviting. The false prophet or voice came by way of the serpent in Genesis 4 through 5. Quote, ye will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will become open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Unquote. One can see that the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet offered Eve something contrary to what God intended for Adam and Eve. As Satan, through deception, is able to convert an individual to his ways, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet all enter that individual. Just as Jesus was covered by the Christ Spirit and only willed to do the bidding of his Father, so now does Satan's followers wish to proceed in the same fashion to their master. Therefore, the satanic trinity is in that individual or covers he or she. As God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one, the dragon seeks to counterfeit the same pattern that God has used. The dragon appears to be everywhere, just as God is. The dragon is also the power source, just as God is. The dragon uses his powers to energize the beast to seemingly perform miracles, signs, and wonders, just as the Son, Christ, of God does. The dragon then empowers the false prophet to speak words of seemingly great wisdom and truth, just as the Holy Spirit imparts wisdom to the teachers, preachers, and servants of God. The Gospel of the Dragon. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, Satan thought he had defeated God by destroying his Son. After 3 days, the Son of God arose from the dead and proclaimed that all power in heaven and earth was in his hands. Christ, in turn, gave that power to the church, which is represented as his body. The scripture had thus been fulfilled. Satan bruised the heel of the woman's seed, but the woman's seed had crushed his head. Genesis 3 and 15. The death blow Satan and his kingdom received was captured in scripture as Jesus Christ ascended above all principalities and powers, making a show of them openly. Colossians 2 and 15. The dragon was now proclaimed dead or defeated as he no longer had power to operate in the realm of man as Christ had reclaimed the power that Satan once had in the earth. Around 312 AD, the Roman Emperor Constantine had a dream or vision where he was instructed to fight under the banner of the cross and that he would be victorious in his quest to be sole ruler of the Roman Empire. Constantine did so and soon after became head of all things civil and religious. Although God said, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree, Galatians 3 and 13, as emperor, Constantine claimed that the Roman Empire was to be under the power of the cross. Constantine, now head of all things civil and religious, established the Roman Church and offered many rituals, relics, and unholy practices to the people of God. The people of God accepted these things that went against God's word. By not refusing these practices and partaking in them, the church gave up its power to Constantine, just as Adam gave his power to Satan. The church lost its power, and a spirit of idolatry began to operate within the church. The dragon, which is Satan, influenced the beast, Constantine, or his Antichrist of that time period, to offer another Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit to the church. As such, the dragon received new life in the overthrow of the church by Constantine and again was given power to operate in the earth. In Satan's new life, his approach has been to use the satanic trinity as an angel of light. In his new method, the dragon enters the beast as Jesus, Mary's son, not the Christ of God. The false prophet goes forth in a spirit of error, proclaiming that the gospel of a man, Jesus, having died and arose from the dead. Satan's goal is to prove that there is some good thing in the flesh. Jesus himself told the rich young ruler, Matthew 19 and 17, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Satan's gospel glorifies that which is natural, like him. He has offered man a gospel that elevates the natural as opposed to the spirit. If God is spirit and operates in spirit and truth, Satan operates in things that are natural and through deceit. Satan is trying to prove by way of his gospel that God is a lie, which is not the case. Regarding the church, Satan presents himself as an angel of light, but he is still the same dragon who uses the show-and-tell beast and his false prophets or voice to deceive. You can see as much as how he deceived the church under Constantine to give up her overcoming power. The dragon, beast, and false prophet were all at work. This time, the dragon offered the show-and-tell sign of the cross from Constantine's dream or vision as an entry point to gain control over the body of Christ, his church. The voice proclaimed and promised victory in battle if he would fight under the banner of the cross. Gaining the upper hand on the church, the dragon, through Constantine, ushered in a natural but highly successful approach to secure what belonged to someone else. The dragon, beast, and false prophet morphed into another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. One of the dragon's most deceptive and adhered to teachings is the worship of the natural man. Man uses and trusts his senses to see, smell, taste, touch, and hear. And that lies his method of belief. It is a thing of comfort, as Thomas said, except I shall see in his hands the print on the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. God calls for his people to have faith, to believe first. The dragon knows man naturally wants to see, then believe. So he delivers to that natural desire. The satanic trinity offers to man that which is common and comfortable. The dragon's gospel presents Jesus of Nazareth as a savior, and then requires worship to him. That same gospel subtly presents Mary as the mother of God and requires her to have a special place in the hearts of the people. It also offers to the people a God that they can see, feel, and touch. The satanic trinity offers the people the exact opposite of what God does. There has never been a man that has done a work for God. That applies to Jesus also. It was the Christ Spirit that descended upon him like a dove and remained. It was the same Christ Spirit that led the children of Israel in the wilderness. 1 Corinthians 10:4, quote, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ," unquote. That same Christ that created all, Ephesians 3:9, quote, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ," unquote. Jesus of Nazareth was a natural-born man of a natural woman, whom both had no power. The Christ Spirit that overlaid the man Jesus is where the glory is. Coincidentally, it is that same Christ Spirit that empowers his people today. The dragon's gospel has convinced man into accepting another Jesus. When Jesus stated, John 14:9, quote, "When you see me, you have seen the Father," unquote, he was not referring to the physical man that was before the people or the Jesus born of Mary. He was referring to the Christ Spirit that covered him, the true Son of God. Again, Jesus was referring to the Christ Spirit that cloaked him, covered him, and empowered him. It was that Christ Spirit that empowered him to heal the sick, turn water to wine, and feed multitudes from little. Had not that Christ Spirit been upon him, he would have not had the power to perform these miracles. Samson was a man like Jesus. It was not until the Spirit came upon him that he was able to go forth in such strength and might, not because he was a giant or possessed some uncommon ability. It was the Spirit that covered him and gave him his strength. But who actually is this other Jesus? Is it the man born of Mary in Bethlehem some 2,000 plus years ago? Is it one of the many representations of Jesus in some form of art that have been in circulation for centuries? Depending on a person's ethnicity or residence, the concept or physical appearance of Jesus may vary. History tells us that the first recorded portraits of Jesus were done either just during or after the rulership of Constantine, centuries after any person had seen him. History also tells us that many modern portraits of Jesus are the likeness of a German painter named Albrecht Dürer. These images are just a way to pacify the flesh and make it easier to accept this other Jesus. But the true other Jesus is the dragon himself. As mentioned before, the death blow occurred to the dragon when Jesus Christ ascended upon all principalities and powers, the dragon now dead or powerless to operate in the earth. Christ then gave that power to the church. Roughly 3 centuries later, the leaders of the church yielded unto Constantine, and that power fueled the resurrection of the dragon. The dragon's other Jesus, or another Jesus, is the dragon himself. The dragon's gospel is about the death, the dragon losing its power as his head was crushed, but masked to the people as the physical life of Jesus being taken away. It is also about the resurrection, the dragon gaining new life as the church gave up its power to its antichrist, masked as the resurrection of the natural Jesus of Nazareth. God's gospel is about the death, the separation from God as Christ was made a curse, and the resurrection, the ascension from hell with keys and all power in heaven and earth. As mentioned earlier, the dragon is a counterfeiter and offers something that looks close to the truth but is actually miles apart. Unless a person is relying on the Spirit of God to instruct, one can see how easy the truth can become twisted. As stated before, the dragon is attempting to show that there is something good in the flesh or natural. As people clutch to the gospel of the natural Jesus, they are unwillingly worshiping the dragon.
This testimony is pertaining to the Garden of Eden, Freeport, Grand Bahama. The Garden of Eden is an appropriate metaphor to describe the place of fellowship where man and his creator are in perfect communion, as was the case of Adam before his fall. In the garden, Adam, as a spiritual being, was called to multiply and replenish the earth with others who were also God-like. However, due to supernatural influences that were evil in nature, the serpent beguiled Eve, who ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and shared it with her husband. Adam fell to a natural state and could no longer fulfill his God-given charge and served as a covering Instead, he could only serve through natural empowerment. God, in his infinite wisdom, uses natural things to help man understand spiritual things. The earth, in its natural state, is corrupt, short-lived, and finite. In fact, Paul speaks of the whole creation groaning and travailing even to this point in time. The Garden of Eden project was spearheaded by the Grand Bahama Community Builders Club in conjunction with the Community Builders Clubs of South Florida. The objective of the project was to establish a Garden of Eden on Grand Bahama Island to show the relationship between the natural Garden of Eden and the spiritual Garden of Eden. This project was one of the restorations where God was restoring the people of God to a right relationship with Him. It involved an outward building work that was representative of an inward work in the hearts of the people of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God also made man in His image after His likeness and gave them dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. The Lord God commanded the man not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God did not say that the tree was both good and evil, but rather, eating from it would provide a natural world view consisting of knowledge of things good and evil. Man needs to come back to Eden. The heart of the man is likened unto a garden. The Lord put His word in our heart, so we have to guard it with all diligence. Lies, deceit, and wickedness is likened unto thorns and thistles, so we have to weed them out with prayer and meditation before the Lord. The Garden of Eden is a beautiful scenery on the grounds of the Church of Christ Apostolic Non-Denominational Ministry, number 19 Pioneers Loop, in the beautiful island of Freeport, Bahamas. This is a place where wedding ceremonies were held and are still taking place. Also, prayer time and meditation, tea parties, and other such like events. But it's a place where mankind can reflect on how it was in the beginning, when God was able to walk in the cool of the day and fellowship with man. He desires that we come back to that close relationship with Him. We do not want to hide from God when He calls our name, like Adam did. When He called Adam and He asked Adam, "Where art thou?" But Adam said, "I hid myself." And the Lord said to him, "Why did you hid yourself?" "Because," he said, "he was naked." And God asked him, "Who told you that you was naked?" The Lord is still calling mankind even in this day and in this time. And they are still naked. Naked because of soulish things. Naked because walking in the flesh. Naked because they do not have a desire for a relationship with God. But the Lord wants us to have true relationship, true fellowship with Him. It is important that man come back to the garden, come back to that relationship with God, come back to Eden, where there can be relationship, communication, and we can talk with the Lord in the cool of the day and do not be afraid to answer when He comes and speak to us. We must guard our heart with all diligence. Our heart is likened unto the Garden of Eden. We must know and ask the Lord to show us what is in our heart sometimes, because we don't even know what's in there sometimes. Unless He shows us, then we are able to ask Him to weed the things out, and not just weed it out, but to replace it with love, with joy, with understanding, most of all with the peace of God. But asking Him to give us a new heart, to transform it, and to renew our relationships with him, going back to Eden, going back to the beginning. It's a time of restoration. It's a place where mankind can be restored and regenerated and rejuvenated. A time of prayer, a time of repentance, and a place where we can come and ask the Lord to forgive us. So the Garden of Eden this day is not just a beautiful place outwardly, and not just beautiful for us to look beautiful outwardly, but the inward garden where the Lord can come in and he can sup with us and he can truly overlay us, which is the heart of the man, that out of the hearts can truly come the issues of life. So today, I would that we eat of the tree of knowledge, the tree of life, and not of the tree of good and of evil, because the Lord desires us to eat of the tree of life. That is where the Spirit of God dwells. That is where life is. Eating the things of the Spirit, that is where his life lies. So I entreat you, I encourage you to eat of the tree of life. Guard your heart with all diligence. Go back to Eden. Remember the times when the Lord came in and supped with Adam. Sup with the Lord today. Do not find yourself naked when he calls you, but find yourself clothed in righteousness and things that is able to sustain you. Let us go back to Eden.
The production you have just heard has been developed from many revelations from the Little Book series, The Law of Natural Anointing, Which Jesus, Heavenly Messages for Overcoming Death, authored by Dr. Daryl G. Hunt. We pray you have been edified by the words spoken on this day, and that your heart is inclined to want to know more.
I'm thankful every day for all of your blessings.
For all of your blessings.
God, I thank you for being my Father.